Welcome to FemTech at Work, the podcast where we explore the intersection of technology, health, and women's empowerment in the workplace, hosted by me, Maaike Steinebach. This show will dive into the innovative solutions transforming women's health and well-being in the workplace. Join us as we chat with FemTech founders, industry leaders, and change makers who are pioneering advancements in FemTech and women's health. We discuss everything: menstrual health, reproductive rights, menopause, but also the challenges women face in the workplace and how innovation can overcome them. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting your FemTech journey, FemTech at Work is here to inspire and inform you about the future of health and wellness for women everywhere. Tune in and be part of the conversation. Hi, and welcome to this episode of FemTech at Work with today's very special guest, Christine Deschaman, the founder of Evercom. Welcome, Christine. Good morning.
Good morning, Maaike. Thank you for having me here. Very delighted to speak about what we do at Evercom Menopause.
Yes, very excited to hear about that too. So maybe let's kick off. Maybe you can share a little bit about your background and how you came up with setting up the company.
Sure. I might be maybe the most unusual background for a FemTech founder, but I was a rocket scientist. So my training was very much rooted in science, and I was in engineering, mechanical engineering. I even had a pilot license at one point in time.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then I became a banker. That allowed me to travel the world and to come to Asia, among other things, after a stint in North America. And later on, I discovered something called hypnosis, clinical hypnosis, that was used in operating theaters in French hospitals.
Okay.
And I was very interested. Yes, very interested. And that's how I started reading everything I could about the research and studies on hypnosis. And I realized the potential of it.
Tell me, what is hypnotherapy and how does it work, like in the context of what you mentioned, like in an operating theater?
Hypnotherapy is a way to leverage a natural state of awareness.
Okay.
So that state of awareness is a state of focused awareness. And I think we will all agree that focus is one of the most important abilities, qualities that needs to learn faster and better. So that state of focused awareness allows people to learn faster and most distractions fade away. That's why it's such a nice, relaxing state. Research has shown that you can use hypnosis in operating theater for hypnoanesthesia. So instead of making a person sleep with anesthesia, it's not really sleep, but they look asleep, you actually use a local anesthetic and use hypnosis. The benefits are many. First, it's safer for the patient. Some patients, because of age or contraindications, either general anesthesia is not recommended, or for this type of surgery, it's better to not have general anesthesia. It's better for the team that is supporting and helping this patient. And it's also better for the whole system as a whole because it's less expensive because you have to keep people, you know, not as long in those ICUs or equivalent. So it's also better for the system. Everyone wins.
Wow, that's amazing. How did you become interested in hypnotherapy as an option for menopause? And is this something that's been around for a long time or is it relatively new?
No, it's not new. Actually, the evidence has been collected over time. So again, as I said earlier, I'm a scientist by training. So I've learned to look at the data and to also analyze whether the data is conclusive or not. So when I discovered that lots of serious organizations and doctors were using hypnosis in the operating theater, I looked at the studies. And indeed, because I mentioned France quite a bit without saying it maybe, but the Belgians started actually using hypnosis in operating theaters. But then it spread and other countries actually have followed suit. I think Canada has started using it in Quebec. But this really surprised me. And so I looked at other studies on hypnosis and the immune system or hypnosis on menopause. And just to go back to the example of menopause, it's very interesting because one of the first studies that I found, it was a randomized controlled trial, which is a strong form of strong study,
yeah,
that back to 2013. So 2013, that showed that clinical hypnosis resulted in significant reductions in self-reported and also physiologically measured hot flashes. So it's not just in the person saying, oh, I have fewer hot flashes and they are less severe, but it's also the measurement, the data telling us, oh, okay, something is really happening here.
Mm.
So that was one of the first studies. Then in 2017, another study showed that there was no placebo effects. It was a real phenomenon. And later on, there were other studies showing that it could help women sleep better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one I can think of date back to 2020. And there was also another study showing that it could reduce anxiety in menopausal women. So when I discovered that this mind-body therapy, and there are that many that we know of that can do that, this mind-body therapy could reduce hot flashes, night sweats, scores, i.e. severity and frequency, but also reduce potentially anxiety and improve sleep. That's for me.
Wow.
Was targeting some of the most prominent symptoms in a menopausal woman. And that's a very big improvement.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume that you may have started treating women in your practice, but that it evolved then into Evercall Menopause. So tell me a little bit, what does the company do and how are you trying to help as many women as possible?
Yes, indeed. I'm the founder of the Renewed Edge Hypnotherapy and Counseling Center. So I still see people face to face. And this is where I actually improve that protocol. So what Evercall Menopause does is there are two main pillars. The first pillar and what really sets us apart from most of the companies I know in this space is that we offer a self-management program to alleviate hot flashes, night sweats, and also help with anxiety and sleep.
Mm.
So the program is accessible, very affordable mobile application that you download.
Yeah.
And you have access to a daily hypnosis audio. It takes about 15 minutes of your day. You know, it's something easy to carve in a very busy schedule.
Yeah.
And we also have a symptom tracker, because I believe that the only way to look at the improvement and to measure success is to really enter the data and to see it through a graph. So these are the two things that we recommend people do. And of course, we have some additional bonuses, including an audio for sleep to help women sleep better and some readings to continue educating women. And I hope we'll actually broach that subject later on the topic of menopause and the flurry of solutions out there.
Yeah, amazing. So that is one pillar. And what is the second pillar?
The second pillar, of course, it's training education. So we do that mostly with B2B, where we offer a certification program where senior leaders actually go through this training and are taught the latest on the field on menopause and how it applies to the workplace, of course.
Yeah. Okay, I'll come back to that in a bit, but I just want to come back to the hypnotherapy because, you know, I grew up in the Netherlands. It wasn't something that was very common, but I have tried it a few times over the last few years, and I feel it's gaining more momentum as people are trying to look for alternatives.
Yeah.
So how do you see hypnotherapy kind of in relation to other kind of treatments, options for menopause, like hormone replacement therapy or lifestyle changes? Is it something that replaces or is it complementary?
That's an interesting point. So what I would do, I always go back to sources of data. This is how I proceed. And so if you look at the Menopause Society, they have position statements.
Yeah.
And the position statements recommend solutions. For example, let's take hot flashes and night sweats. The recommended options, the first one, when you read that guidance from the Menopause Society, is clinical hypnosis. And they recognize mind-body therapy and explain what it is.
Yeah.
Very, very important, because they don't recommend, for example, dietary changes, which is something that I hear sometimes, which is said in events or other forums, but dietary changes might help prevent the triggers, but they don't. There's not enough evidence to show that they could actually reduce hot flashes. If you look at Australia, for example, closer to us, same thing, but even more interesting because they have a gracious toolkit and it contains different decision trees. So you actually get a very good idea about how most doctors make up their mind about what they're actually going to talk about.
Mm.
And that decision tree, when it comes to the different treatments, when you choose the non-hormonal routes, well, it includes hypnosis, in addition to CBT, for example, or other non-hormonal solutions, for example, antidepressants. What we have to understand, and I think the question was really interesting, because whenever we talk about menopause, there is only one word that comes up, HRT. Mm. So what is interesting is to, again, when you go back to the Menopause Society, a lot of statements and letters over the last few years, my understanding that they're not really keen on the word replacement, because not all hormones need to be replaced. They prefer the word hormone therapy, first of all, because replacement gives like a sense of urgency, right? Second, the Menopause Society sent a letter at the end of September 2024 after a series of controversial statements made by a doctor, I think, in Europe. And they were very clear that the utilization rate of hormone therapy among women between 50 to 59 years old in menopause was at 4%. It's an all-time low.
Yeah.
And yet, despite that, the only thing we hear about is hormone therapy. I have nothing against it, but I know a lot of women who don't take that because of the contraindications. They take other medication or they do hypnosis. But there are many other solutions there. So I think this is what people have to keep in mind. And the data is out there. Don't trust me. You can go and check for yourself.
Yeah, I think to your point around the decision tree of a doctor, I think it really depends who you have in front of me and what their backgrounds and their own experiences and maybe some of the experiences of patients in their clinics are. Of course, here in Asia, we see a lot more solutions also in the TCM space. I do feel a lot of Asian women tend to go to TCM first before they explore other things. Is TCM and hypnotherapy, does that go together? Is there an intersectionality or is it not discussed in TCM at all, hypnotherapy?
I don't think so. TCM have a different philosophy about how they explain the changes in the body and how they go about kind of alleviating some of those imbalances. That's what I understand. I'm not a CCM practitioner and specialist.
No.
But I've never seen actually a mix of the two.
Okay. But I guess in Asia, do you find women are skeptical about trying hypnotherapy?
That's an interesting question. I have in my practice men and women. And so people who naturally come to me are not skeptical for a variety of reasons. Either they've used it in the past and it really helped.
Yeah.
They've tried everything else. I think we have to also put that into the context of COVID-19, the pandemic, made people access psychological resources that they would not access before.
Yeah.
So have had the opportunity to try things out and they're like, well, it doesn't really work for me completely. I think there are some very strong stats showing that in many continents, including the one I had in mind because I did a deck recently, is in North America. Many people have used or are thinking of using alternative therapies. And we have to also understand that alternatives can also mean evidence-based.
Yeah.
I mean that it's not the mainstream. That's not what you're going to get when you go to the doctor, even though it's changing. So more people, more women actually are aware of what hypnotherapy does, more men as well. And I'm seeing some very interesting and changes that I welcome. When last year, it was the first time I heard a doctor talk about hypnosis for menopause symptoms relief. I think she was a bit shy personally. I think that I would have been a bit more confident in how I would have delivered this because the evidence is there. I would say if someone is kind of skeptical, first you have to understand why you're skeptical. Is that because you heard someone say something or something else? Well, you know, it would be a very long discussion there. But if people don't know, I would say get the application. We have a 7-day free trial and get yourself a coffee or tea. Listen to it. And you're going to find that it's actually pretty relaxing. And then just go for it and listen to that. And you will notice changes and results.
Yeah. So what has the feedback been from the users? Do you actually ask them to leave reviews or do you get feedback from them?
We always ask people to leave reviews and we got feedback that were directed to us directly. I think that people underestimate the power of mind-body therapies.
Yeah.
When they start to experience it, it can be really life-changing for some people. And that's really what we want to continue doing down the line. We believe that the research that has been conducted on that topic and many other topics that also leverage mind-body therapies, we're open to adding more tools in our toolkit. So far, we talk about it. We know that emotions have an influence on our bodies. We know that if we express gratitude, it has a positive impact on our cardiovascular system.
Yeah.
This is all in research. But how do you put that into a service or a product that people can use to really make positive changes in their lives? And I want to highlight this. This is a safe, non-invasive method that has been used for a while with strong studies backing its use. And now you have doctors saying, well, you have to talk about that.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I'm convinced. I'm going to go try it immediately.
Well, lucky.
You spoke earlier also about the app was originally targeted for the B2C space, but you're obviously also now moving into the B2B space. It may be two separate questions. Firstly, how are employers kind of looking at introducing these kind of capabilities like a hypnotherapy app for women into their organizations? And then maybe the wider question just around the work that you're doing more generically on menopause. How is the workplace receiving this?
So we've been actually looking at the B2B space for a while, but our stance is really to understand the needs. I think that corporations are getting more sophisticated in the way they spend their budget on employees' benefits. What I'm seeing, and I really welcome this development because I think this is the right way to go to move forward. I see organizations which are being set up and which role is to kind of advise companies about what's really working, what isn't.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, I don't think that companies are necessarily well advised. And I'm going to tell you why. For example, until last year, even though the research has been there for a long time, and I mentioned the dates, no doctor that I've talked to was mentioning CBT or hypnosis as a valid modality to target many symptoms during menopause. When I talk to psychologists, and I don't know everyone, of course, I would love to know everyone, but the people I know trained in hypnosis, have not read the research on hypnosis, and therefore, those people who are mostly the gatekeepers to employee benefits in corporations,
yeah,
well, do not have the benefits of awareness and knowledge.
Yeah.
And so I think that those organizations that are being set up will be meeting a very dire need, which is, okay, what do we need to do? Tell us what kind of method works. And after that, we're going to decide who is going to be our provider. So this is going to something that is going to help down the line because as companies move forward, of course, education and advocacy is something important because mindset needs to be changed so that people are retained and talent is retained within organizations. But what I see the very big difference between what we do and what other people do is that we are the only company that I know of, if you find all those, please let me know, in Asia that offers a self-management program for many of the symptoms that plague women who are going through menopause. Not all of them, but many of them.
Yeah.
And that is hot flashes and sleep and anxiety. So that we continue discussions with them. We have received a very positive feedback so far. We've been able to change mindset and to educate a lot of senior leaders in many corporations in Hong Kong, and we'll continue doing so.
Yeah, that's very exciting. But it resonates what you mentioned about the people that are responsible, let's say, for the employee benefits or the HRs. I mean, on the one hand, you can't blame them. I think the workplace is also evolving continuously, and there are so many things that they need to take care of, particularly in the DEI or in the tech space, that I also feel that some people are just worried about how to introduce something like this. So not just menopause, but all other women's health issues, that they are kind of seeking ways to bring this into an organization in a solid way. And then I can imagine if they then also come, even though it's a wonderful self-management program, and I agree, I don't know of any other company that is doing that, which means you could theoretically easily implement it into a learning management system where women can kind of do this on their way to work or at home or whenever it fits the bill for a democratization of women's health, that I think a lot of HR managers or employee benefits people will be scratching a little bit. It's like, is this really a priority for me as part of my KPIs? And how do I fit it in? But I'm excited to hear that people are receptive and are interested, and that hopefully more and more companies will explore these kind of ways to support women in the workplace.
Definitely. I mean, what we're also seeing also in different parts of the world is more focus and products on this type of mind-body therapy. So I think it's just a question, a matter of time. And at the same time, it's very difficult to say no when the evidence presented with excerpts from websites, as I mentioned, the Menopause Society, whether it's in the US or in Australia or in other organizations, the evidence is there. So it's a question about where am I going to put my budget and how can I justify this? So while losing senior talent, whether it's female or male, costs money for an organization, it can be disruptive. And so I think that after a while, people, without even thinking about what it is, because they see the evidence, they will just go with it.
Yeah, it seems like a wonderful story, right? You're a rocket scientist, you're a banker, you know, you're a hypnotherapist, you start your own company. But I guess there's probably been some challenges along the way, right? So what have you encountered kind of in building your company and how have you overcome them?
Well, I think it goes back to the one point we made earlier, the lack of awareness and the ignorance and having gatekeepers in some places that were not trained to understand what we were presenting.
Yeah.
Even though they might have had a degree in the field of mental health or another sector, which is relevant. How we overcame it was through persistence and showing the data. I think nobody can say no to data. I see every day in my office, C-suite level executives. We work on a variety of topics. I work with athletes as well. And I'm also the co-founder of the Hong Kong Hypnotherapy Association because we were really wanting to elevate the standards in the field of hypnotherapy so that we can educate the population at large about what it is. And so we're going to continue that, continue educating the population in Hong Kong about what it means. So that's how I did it. It takes perseverance and effort, of course, but as I said, people have tried a lot of things before. So they know what has been working for them. Yeah. They know what hasn't been working for them. And when they experience something that is really, hypnotherapy is a fast therapy. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, help everything. Of course not. Nothing can do that. It's a fast therapy that has been used for a while. And in an environment where stress runs high, where people are having a life, there is space for it. The applications are many. I mentioned anesthesia. I can mention menopause. We have down the line many applications that are in the pipeline that are related to stress response, for which there is, I'm not going to say it right now, but for which there are a few actually options. And so again, very strong randomized controlled trial that show that it's beneficial, not just for the individual, but also for the environment.
Oh, that's exciting.
When we release that, I will speak a bit more about that particular application. But this is what we intend to continue doing. And I think we built a very strong following. We specialize in, you know, I educate people in hypnotherapy. I teach hypnotherapy. I still coach people with hypnotherapy and other techniques. And I create those products leveraging technology to create affordable and accessible programs.
Yeah. So just coming back to the tech, how hard was it to kind of put all that knowledge and experience that you've acquired into a tech solution?
Yes, it was a journey. So as I said, I'm a rocket scientist. So I had the privilege to study almost everything in my first master's degree, from genomics to mechanical engineering to fluid dynamics and computer science. So I was more of a data scientist before I actually started UpNow Health, which houses Evercom Menopause. And so I continued doing coding even when I was a banker. So I did AI coding as well. I've learned to create neural networks and train them, which was wonderful. But then you need a lot of capital to train them. Mm. We all know now. So I was always very much in the tech, doing and creating tools and little applications in technology. I learned new languages. I learned Python on my own. I learned Node.js later in other languages as well. And when it was time to create UpNow Health first and then second Evercom Menopause, well, I assumed the CTO role, which was you learn a lot as you go along, but it was very, very useful. There's a lot of resources that you can use, which are MOOCs or equivalent. And that was very useful to learn. So that was the tech part. And then there is a whole soft side, which is about the user experience. And I've learned a lot about UX, UI as well. We tested Evercom with real users to make sure that the interface was very clear. And we did a lot of work there. I'm really proud of what we created. And finally, in terms of the protocol, it's something that I do every single day. Mm. So it was pretty easy for me to put that into a script that I've used and to learn to voice them, because it's different to voice in front of a mic to in front of a person.
Yes.
And it was really a steep learning curve to bring all that together.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Well done. I'm just so impressed about all the things that you know how to do. That's incredible. So tell me, where do you see the company in a few years? You know, what would success look like for you?
So UpNa Health and Evercom Menopause is helping build the third pillar of modern healthcare. Mm. In addition to pharma solutions and surgery. So what we want to do is to continue creating products that leverage mind-body therapies using leveraging strong studies and choosing applications for which we have those strong studies while keeping on doing studies ourselves as well. And success means a few more programs down the line targeting men and women that will help them lead a healthier and happier life without any invasive methodology behind.
Okay, wow, that's impressive. What advice would you have for anyone wanting to start a women's health company?
I would say it's a vast space, but we see a lot more actors in that space. I would say first, know what your value proposition is. Just reproducing another model, unless you really think that you have an edge somewhere, might not be the best option in the medium and the long term. So know what your value proposition is.
Yeah.
What are you bringing to the table, which is unique? Because even if there's a copycat, it's going to be very difficult to replicate that. And then be persistent, because it takes time to build a brand. It takes time to educate people.
Yeah.
With the data mentioned, we've noticed a lag time behind some very strong studies and the availability of products like Evercom. So once you have that in mind, I think after it's all about focusing on the implementation, which takes a lot of time and iterations, but that's a kind of interesting part of setting up a business.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the companies that I see that are very successful really take their time to look at where the gaps are in the market and try to fill those, because those are the ones where there is a real need, there is a real problem, and both men and women are going to be very excited that there are solutions that are out there. So yeah, that's great advice. So is there anything I forgot to ask you about your business?
I think we've covered most of the things there.
Okay. I'm very happy to hear about your work, Christine. And I think it's amazing to see the progress that we are making just to create more and better solutions for women to manage their own health and well-being. And Evercom is clearly an amazing new tool that women can use. So congratulations on that, and very inspiring to hear your story. And thank you very much for being on my podcast today.
Thank you, Maggie, for having me and giving me this opportunity to educate even more people on what the future holds for them.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for the listeners, Christine's details about her companies will be in the show notes. Please subscribe and review so that we can reach more and more listeners that would be interested to hear Christine's story and the benefits of hypnotherapy. Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you, Mikey.